Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Welcome to the Theater Podcast, intimate personal conversations with the industry's biggest names. I'm your host, Alan Seals, and we have a special voiceover master with us for this episode, Deborah Sperling. She wears her emotions on her sleeve. She is so real, so authentic, and one of the most enjoyable conversations I have had, I guess most honest conversations I've had with anybody in a really long time. She's had an unusually successful career as a voiceover artist, which I think speaks to who she is, and she just brings her full self to every single audition, and it works. I have signed up for her voiceover class. I am looking forward to it so much because A, I haven't taken a class in a really long time, but B, of course, voiceovers is like that mecca that people just don't know how to break into or how to get good at. So learning from the best, I am really, really excited. Please find me online on Instagram and Twitter at @theater_podcast. Leave a rating and a review wherever you are listening now. And everybody, please enjoy this episode with Deborah Sperling.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Here you go. 1, 2, 3.
You are familiar with today's guest, and you probably have never realized it. You've heard her voice probably everywhere you've looked. You really have. She's been the voice of Cascade and Pampers and Johnson & Johnson and Kellogg's, Weight Watchers, the Oxygen Network, Discovery, VH1, Charmin, Citibank, and just so many more. And she's an avid teacher and coach on top of everything else that we are about to talk about. Such a lovely voiceover artist, something that we don't often get to talk about on this podcast. So I'm super excited to welcome Deborah Sperling. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Alan. Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
I need to just, the audiophile in me needs to geek out on how clear and crisp your voice is right now. Because I've done so many interviews over the Squadcast here, the platform we use to record. And it's people, you know, like with their AirPods and whatnot and
yeah.
No microphone at all in giant rooms. And you have this wonderful, wonderful studio with this wonderful mic. And I appreciate it.
I was debating
so
before we went on which mic to use, but I think I made the right choice from your comment.
Oh, you sound amazing. You sound amazing. Yeah. So you make your living doing voiceovers, and not many people can say that.
I do.
You are very, very fortunate and
very, very grateful.
I rattled off all of this stuff at the beginning and I stopped because otherwise we'd be here all day listing off all of your accomplishments. And I love the world of voiceovers, and it's still so nebulous to me. So hopefully for myself and for people listening, I want to get into sort of best practices and I guess, well, let's start at the beginning. Were you originally wanting to be a performer of any type, an actress, TV, theater?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a voiceover. I make my living as a voiceover artist, and that to me is an actor. And I use the microphone. But my whole life, yeah, I went to the High School of Performing Arts and studied theater, like the FAME School in Manhattan. And then I went to the University of Buffalo, and I got a BA in theater, and I studied for a semester at the Royal Academy of Dramatic Arts in London. I have a master's degree, an MFA in acting from Case Western Reserve. Yeah, I've been an actor since, I mean, I feel like I was born this way. I was born with this. Yeah, the voiceovers, unfortunately, I feel that in our country, you can't make the kind of living that you can make in other countries when you want to go into straight theater, especially Shakespeare. Mm-hmm. So... That was definitely disheartening. I mean, when you are in London, I don't know if you've ever been, but when you're in London, mm-hmm. it's crazy. People go to the theater the way we go to the movies.
Yeah.
Like when I first went, I was all dressed up and you know, our classmates, we walk in and there are people literally like sitting on the set. Just and they're in jeans and they're eating ice cream. And I was so disgusted until I had to wrap my head around, they do this 3 times a week. Like this isn't a special occasion that they're going to see Ian McKellen as Iago, which is what we were, you know, this is just something that they do. So and voiceovers, I've been doing this for a very long time. For 26 years. And in the beginning, it wasn't something my agent sent me out on an audition. I didn't really even know what voiceovers were because they weren't very commonly talked about because celebrities did not do any voiceovers unless it was overseas. What's the Bill Murray movie with Scarlett Johansson about? Brain freeze. Lost in Translation?
Yes, Lost in Translation.
Okay. I know everyone out there is thinking, Lost in Translation.
Screaming at their speakers right now.
Right, yeah. That couldn't be made today because everybody is not just even doing voiceovers, they're doing on-camera commercials and it's totally fine or accepted now. But that world was kind of a very small little world at the time. And I came in, my agent thought I had an interesting voice and I was really fortunate to book the second thing that I auditioned for. And I think a lot of it is absolutely my acting training. And I think also having the confidence that I booked that second thing to just feel like, okay, I'm good at this. And I think that confidence is such an important thing. And it's one of the things I talk about when I'm teaching and coaching, that feeling of knowing that you on a microphone is enough, bringing yourself and not feeling like you have to just push and do something crazy or be, have that insecurity that you're not enough, is something that's hard to get to. And I really do think when I go back and think about it, I think the fact that I was fortunate enough to book the second job really gave me that confidence to go forward. And I wonder if my career path would be the same if that hadn't happened and it had been months until I booked something. It's funny, I never really thought about it as much as I'm thinking about it right now, but I really bet it would not have been the same.
Well, this is an audio-only podcast. I'm grinning from ear to ear. I have two questions coming out of this. One you said is your agent thought you, or someone said, you said someone thought you had an interesting voice. So what makes an interesting voice, right? Well, so that's the first thing.
Okay.
And now I forgot my second question.
Well, I want to say something about the interesting voice thing. I believe everybody has an interesting voice.
What do you mean? Everybody has an interesting voice. I have an interesting voice.
I think the thing that actually gets you the job, that gets people interested, is bringing your authentic self to the microphone. I think if you line up, especially now where the read that everybody wants is someone really talking, the conversational read is the read that everyone wants on everything now.
The host read.
And I like to think that the aspect of that and bringing myself to the script is what always helped me get the jobs that I've had, being able to bring me. But now it is so important. And what I will tell you is I believe that if you take, let's say, 10 people and you line them up and you just ask them to say a few words. And you're like, oh, that's a cool voice. Oh, he's got a cool voice. He has a really interesting voice. And you have them all do an audition. It's not going to be about how the person's voice sounds. That's not going to be what's going to get them the job. It's going to be, do I believe this person is really talking? Do I feel like I'm drawn in listening to them? It's not going to be the raspy sound or the way they speak. I mean, even Morgan Freeman, like, yes, that voice, you could listen to him read the phone book. However, he is so present and available and authentic when he's speaking. Right. And if he wasn't, I don't think it would be as moving, even though he sounds like butter.
That actually leads me to what my second question was. I remembered it. And it was that you're talking about having confidence, bring yourself and know that your voice is good enough, right? Because especially when you can't see somebody, when you're only listening, you start to imagine and you pick up on the little nuances of people's voices. And I tell people all the time when I'm asking for voiceover work from others, for various projects, I say, just if it's happy, make sure you're smiling, right? You can tell, you can hear if you're not looking at somebody, if people are smiling. So the way that people's voices waver, if they're a little unsure about something, like you pick up on all of that in such maybe a conscious way, but mostly I think unconscious, because we as humans are
Yes, yes, because when a human being is actually really talking and connected, you cannot help but lean in and listen. And the crazy thing is the things that you just said about the smile or that quiver in the voice, I would put out there that it is not something that you can fake.
Right.
I would put out there that people try to do that and pretend to be happy and smiling, pretend to be emotional and make their voice quiver. It's so much more fun, so much easier, and so much more creative to actually make a choice so you're really happy, so you're really there, so you're really in the moment. When I teach, I tell people to stop acting words, stop acting the words. Because people don't talk like this and stress words like this when they're speaking. They don't. When you're really connected, the funny thing is there's not a lot of wavering up and down. Mm-hmm. There's talking and those nuances that come out when you're really, really speaking to somebody.
Isn't that more about like kind of dabbling in like Meisner technique where when you're doing lines, you're just repeating it over and over and over again until it becomes so natural that you don't realize you're saying it?
Yeah. Yeah, well, an exercise that I teach in my authenticity and voiceover class has a lot to do, not necessarily with Meisner, but a lot to do with getting out of thinking about the words and thinking more about who am I speaking to and what am I doing with these words? What am I trying to affect? How am I using these words to affect the person that I'm speaking to? And the words could literally be blah, 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 blah. It doesn't matter. It's who am I talking to and what am I using the words to do? And when you're really connected to that, all of a sudden, this freedom happens where you're not thinking about, am I stressing the right word?
Mm-hmm.
It's like if I asked you right now, Alan, how do I make you feel when I'm talking to you? You would probably say, I don't know what you would say, but I tell you what you wouldn't say. You wouldn't say, I don't think Deb stresses the right words in her sentences when she talks. Right? Nobody thinks about that. But when people do auditions, that's what they start thinking about. Am I stressing the right word? And then all of a sudden you become non-human.
It becomes mechanical at that
point. Yeah.
And it's like you said, it sounds fake. That's the difference, in my opinion, between acting and being. To be a good actor is two big things. One is active listening. I say this all the time on the podcast, is listen, 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 which in voiceover work, it kind of is not all that important because you can't see, but listening and being. Don't act happy, just be happy.
Yes.
And I know it's not that simple. Like, we're oversimplifying the process. But
well, it's certainly more fun. And I have to say now, for those of you, this is a Broadway podcast. So Stephen McKinley Henderson was one of my very first mentors and my teacher at the University of Buffalo. And so His definition of acting takes Stanislavski's a little bit further, and it is, acting is living truthfully and fully under imaginary circumstances with the intention of revealing or exposing something about the nature of being human. And I love that definition.
Wow.
Because we are human, and I tell people all the time, these conversations happen on voiceover sites, on Facebook. There are all kinds of voiceover sites on Facebook. And people Facebook, talk
about the go-to place for advice on voiceover.
People talk about being so scared that AI will take over our jobs, and AI is getting so great and it really sounds like it's a person. And I'm not worried about AI taking my job. Because AI doesn't have a soul. AI doesn't have a real life. And also, what I love to say is, you're never competing, even if it's people, you're never competing with anybody else for a role, ever. You're competing with yourself to be the most authentic you you can be. So you love the process, you enjoy the process, you get to bring a piece of yourself every time you hit record. And whether it's an audition, whether it's a booking, whether you're reading scripts, whatever it is that you're doing, you get to enjoy the process. And that's 99% of your entire life is the process. Not just your life as an artist, doing auditions over and over again, but your whole life, real life, the whole thing is a work in progress, and it's a process. And you need to enjoy the journey. And that also reads on the microphone. Also, it reads on the microphone, your joy, your gratitude. It reads on the microphone if you're scared, if you're desperation, I need this job, all of that. I mean, the eyes are the windows to the soul. I think the microphone is just as wonderful in terms of picking up everything when it's real and when it's not real. You lean in when someone's really talking.
Mm-hmm.
You just do.
Yeah, well, yeah, that goes back to the unconscious perception of joy or of emotion. It's you want to listen to to people that are happy, and yeah, I completely agree with you. But I wanted to touch on the process. You brought that up a second ago. Is across everything you've done, like, you know, how do you approach a new audition that is like Citibank versus Pampers? I would think that that's two different types of tones, or are you Deborah? Are you different versions of Deborah in every read, or how do you kind of decide?
Okay, so what I'll tell you is, you're different versions of Alan in every single person you speak to. You don't talk to your grandmother the same way you talk to a 4-year-old child, the same way you talk to a stranger, the same way you talk to someone you are in awe of when they come on this podcast, or someone that you feel like you wish would leave your life forever. You speak to every single person in your life differently, just by the nature of who you are and who they are. And you definitely also speak differently. What do you want from them, right?
Oh.
What do you want from them when you're talking to them? Like, for right now, you're talking to me, maybe wanting to pull information out of me. You want this podcast, you know, what's all the other things going on? You want the podcast to be a success. When real life is there, it might be unconscious, but it's what creates how we talk.
Wow.
So you have to make those choices for yourself. At least that's how I feel about it. You have to make those choices for yourself almost instantaneously. Now that we're it's very sad to me, but I would say 99% of voiceover auditions and things are still being done because of COVID in our home studios. And I miss casting directors, and I miss engineers, and I miss that creativity and having a casting director tell me, okay, we want this, or throwing a choice at me and just bringing it out. Just my brain doesn't have to work at all when I have the beauty and the talent of a casting director there. So now, being in an isolation home studio booth, as beautiful as my booth is, it's 100% up to me in most situations now to make those choices. And it's so easy to get stagnant and just start thinking when you're alone, okay, am I hitting the right word? Does this sound right? Let me listen over and over and over again. Instead of keeping it fresh, keeping it fun, making choices, keeping it fun for yourself, keeping your energy and your creativity up by the choices that you make.
I was, while you were saying this, I was reading back through the intro that I wrote, you know, for you, and I was thinking about the joy and the excitement that I had in reading that intro, because knowing it was going to lead into this wonderful conversation. And so you're exactly right, because if I had said, you're familiar with today's guest, and you probably never even realized it. I mean, you've heard her voice everywhere. You really have. Like, that's not engaging.
Right. Right.
So it's, yeah, I completely get this. And I guess there's part of, oh God, there's so many parallels to like actual being on stage and TV and film acting. Like there's an it that some people have.
But it is the same thing. Because when you're on stage, you're never thinking, I mean, some people are, we don't probably see them usually on Broadway, but you're never ever thinking about how the words are coming out of your mouth, then you're not connected to the moment, right? And it's just this horribly stale performance with no nuance, and also doing how many shows a week? I mean, and just hitting, how do I stress these words every night? No one would want to be an actor. The beauty and the fun in it is, you make new discoveries every night. You get off stage, you're like, oh, that moment tonight when that happened and that happened, it was totally new and real. And always challenging yourself, always being prepared in the moment to just let yourself be, let yourself react, let yourself be authentically yourself in that situation, revealing or exposing something about the nature of being human.
Oh, I love that. It's all about that. And what about cartoons and video games and things that aren't human, right? Because, go ahead.
No. I'm not my. I can give you like three names of people that you should have on your podcast. I do not do animation. I do not do audiobooks at all. So much so that people laugh at me. I've never listened to an audiobook in my entire life. I've never listened to an audiobook.
Really?
I've never narrated an audiobook. It is something I know nothing about. Cartoons, I don't do animation. Video games, I was the voice of the hooker in the Max Payne video in Max Payne 2. So, yeah, if you get far enough in that game, you'll get a little treat. little did I know when I did that it was going to be on IMDb or wherever it was, and it says Max Payne 2, Deborah Sperling, hooker. So. Yeah.
Well, that's something that actually until now never really occurred to me, that I thought VO was just VO and you kind of did different things all over the poo-poo platter, right? But I guess like I'm thinking of a Sarah Stiles, right? So Steven Universe, she's got a very like a very cartoony sort of character voice,
yeah.
Right? So she can play up to that very well. So there's that sort of thing. And James Monroe Iglehart, I know, like, has been doing some cartoony character-y stuff. And yeah, so I guess, but like the timbre and the tone of people's voices must lead them to be predisposed to different sort of sub-genres within this niche.
Yes, I'm absolutely sure that is true. And to have the flexibility with your voice. Now vocally, I have a very big range in my voice. So I can be here and sound like this. I can also make a very horrible sound and bring my voice even lower down. I can make an even more horrible sound, which I won't do on this microphone, and rub my sinuses, and I can get my voice up really high just naturally. And I would sound a lot younger if I did that. I'm trying to do it without making that sound, which isn't acting younger. It's placing my voice in a different place in my head. And I do that before I am on the microphone. So I'm never on the mic thinking about, is my voice low enough? Or is my voice sounding young? Because then, again, it would take me out of the moment. So all that preparation, I do very quickly before I hit record. so that I'm not thinking about it consciously. But you know what? The there is such a large range of things that you can do even without doing cartoons or video games. I mean, I do video game stuff that's real. Like, you know what I mean? Like a lot of video game stuff now is they just want real, mm-hmm. real people. Mm-hmm. They don't necessarily want it to sound like this or, you know, whatever.
I'm an evil bad guy.
Right. Exactly. So that's one thing. I mean, back in the day, I was the voice of the Google's answering service. Like they're,
Shut up. Yeah, I know.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. Little connection there. Like, hi, welcome to Google. Like that, all of that.
Wow. That's so cool.
I was saving that for you. But there's so many different things that people don't even realize where voiceovers come in or where you hear people's voices. When I first started doing this, people would ask me, what do you do? I'd say, I'm a voiceover artist. And they would look at me with this really odd look. What is that? I'm like, you know, when you turn on your TV, well, what do you mean? So, and promos is so different than commercials, than narration. Like I narrate television shows is a different thing than doing voiceovers for commercials, which is a different thing than promos. When I was doing the Oxygen Network or WeTV, the whole coming up next Friday on WeTV, and then, you know, all of that stuff. Love those jobs to be a voice of a network and just be able to do so many different things all day long, especially when you actually get to be in the network and not at home, but you get to physically be there. Once again, COVID.
We're going to take a short break. Stay tuned for more of the episode.
There are so many things in life that stress me out. You know what shouldn't stress me out? Eating! So we can all eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So you can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options for all dietary needs. And you can discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and even some drinks to help you stay fueled up. Factor is also celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month's Eats badge on the menu for our lowest carbon footprint meals. Say that 5 times fast. Earth Month Eats. Earth Month Eats. Just remember these no fuss, no mess meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. So just simply heat and eat the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/TTP50 and use code TTP50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code TTP50 at factormeals.com/TTP50 to get 50% off your first box and 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. So what are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up your springtime goals. Great
expectations. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Voiceovers and commercials seem like sort of this long sought after these dream jobs, right? Because you don't need to worry about more or less what you're wearing, what you look like. Commercials a little bit more, obviously, because you're on camera. But in terms of work time, like you go in for a couple hours or a couple days, and then you get paid a ton of money and then never come back again unless they need you for the next thing, right? It's not like an 8-show-a-week theater sort of thing. And I mean, I just want to acknowledge the amount of sheer, I guess, your credits, right? The amount of sheer fortunate circumstances you have found yourself in.
Yeah.
And in no small part due to your talent and your drive and your confidence, right? Like, it's well deserved. And so allow me to speak your accolades for you, because you're an amazing person to talk to and an amazing person. Obviously, like, you're greeting very well. Like, just listening to you in, like, if I close my eyes and listen to you, like, your voice, the voice is pleasant. You do have I know what your agent means now by, like, having a unique voice, because it's expressive without being, well, it's just expressive, full stop. Like, you're not acting like you're happy. You just are happy. Right?
Well, right. And thank you for everything you just said. None of it has ever been lost on me. The gratitude. Like, I am so eternally grateful, and grateful to every single person that has ever signed me in at an audition, or opened a door, or an engineer that has helped make me sound amazing, casting directors that without them I wouldn't have ever had these jobs. I've just, all of it, just the life pre-COVID, the life of running around New York City all day long, seeing amazing casting directors, seeing friends auditioning with you, bumping into people on the subway, running from audition to job, seeing engineers and people sitting at the desk that you know that are bookkeeping for just all of it. It's the family. I feel like the entire thing was just this wonderful family, and the gratitude and love I have for what I do is, there really are no words. I'm so grateful.
Well, you pay it forward too. You're actively teaching and coaching, and you do purposely, like, small classes now through, because of COVID, over Zoom and whatnot, right? So, like, talk to me about the teaching side of life, because you're obviously, I mean, if I may, you're successful enough that financially you don't need to teach.
That's true.
So why do you do this?
I love it so much. I learn from my students. I love it so much. When I was getting my master's degree at Case, I was fortunate enough, I taught the undergraduate acting classes when I was getting my master's. And I love teaching. I mean, even when Stephen McKinley Henderson, I was his TA for 3 years in Buffalo. I've always loved teaching. And it's not just paying it forward. It's helped. I mean, I guess it's paying it forward, but just being involved in that creative process and being able to be there and witness and help someone to discover, to be there for their discovery that they're enough, or to be there for their discovery that it chokes me up. It chokes me up. So I have always coached since I really probably about, I don't know, 2 or 3 years into doing voiceovers, when people would ask me, oh, I would really like to know more about this, and can I hire you? I would go and I would work with people or talk to them about the craft and work on scripts with them. And back in the day, I didn't even charge anyone. And people were like, what are you, crazy? And I was like, well, I don't need to charge it. I just love it. And it's not like I'm doing it every single day, and it makes me happy. So when COVID hit, just the disconnection everybody had was heartbreaking enough. And then I saw something else that really broke my heart, which was there were so many people that came out of the woodwork on Zoom that were not in the business, that were all of a sudden coaching. People that hadn't been on a microphone for 25 years, people just, I don't want to go into it, but just a lot of people that had no business coaching were coaching. And I'm not saying people that can't do, like, all of that things, you know, if you can't do, you teach, if you go, I mean, all of that stuff. I'm not saying that. I'm saying, I know for a fact that there were people stealing money from people, and it infuriated me. And I also miss teaching so much. And the connection that happens when you are one-on-one, and because of Zoom, was so amazing. And my class, Authenticity and Voiceover, is a one night, 3.5 hour class. And I explain it to people as to think of it as a small group acting class. It's a maximum of 6 people.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times only 5. And everyone's on the screen all together. No one's pinned. It is just a group. It is a group of 6 people that come together and at the end feel really connected to each other. And especially at a time when everyone was wearing masks and you couldn't even see people, to be able to create that kind of safe space and be able to have creativity happening and people opening up and authenticity coming through, it was life-saving. It really was, especially, and I know how much it meant to people that were living alone.
Mm-hmm.
It meant, I feel like it saved me because, yeah, it's what teaching has given me over the past year is immeasurable. Just to be able to help guide people toward that and the relationships, and to be able to witness such amazing creativity and bravery and
Well, next time I see you in person, I'm going to give you the biggest, longest hug. Because I think we both need it at this point in the pandemic. So I first met you when you were on Josh Swallow's Broadway with Josh Lieberman's podcast, right? And you told a story that I thought was hilarious, that from Long Island, you had a deep, deep Long Island accent.
Queens. I lived on the border of Queens and Long Island, and I used to talk like this. And I actually, like, even when I went to the High School of Performing Arts, sometimes it's even hard for me to get back into it. But when I went there, you had to be from the 5 boroughs, and my zip code was actually right on the border of Queens and Nassau County. So I had to even prove that my house was in Queens after I got in, or they wouldn't let me go because my zip code was a Long Island zip code. But yes, I used to talk like this. I used to say, oh my God. I used to say coffee. I watch old videos of me with my brothers. And so this is how I talked. But back in the day in high school, they would say, you know, get in line or we're going to send you back to your zone school. So so that would have been Martin Van Buren High School in Queens, which is not really where I wanted to go. I liked being in the middle of Manhattan and going to high school. I didn't mind getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and taking 2 buses and 3 trains to get to high school. So I used to walk around talking like this, because it needed to be very conscious for me in the beginning of every sound that I was making. So I know all my friends would make fun of me in Queens, but because I was overdoing it, because I just needed it to become second nature for me. And that was the process I needed to go through. And thank God that I did, because if I was talking like this, and like I said in Josh's podcast, I have, when I talk about it, I have producers that have me then, like at the end of a session, they'll have me do a take like this and just as a joke for themselves or to send to the client as a joke. Oh, well, we're looking for approval on this spot. We just got what we think is Deb's best take. What do you think? And all of a sudden I'm like, you know, Cascade, let your dishwasher be the dishwasher, you know, whatever, or whatever it is. But it's a funny thing. I'm horrible with accents. I don't do accents at all. That is just, that's just used to be my voice, so I can fall into it. But yeah.
I thought it was something funny you said too, was that you thought the forehead was legitimately farhead.
Oh, yeah, no. So something I didn't say, which I think is really funny, that the forehead thing, I never saw the word written down. And it's not a word you use all the time, by the
forehead.
Way. But I was teaching, this is when I was in grad school. I didn't tell this story. I was teaching and I would do these meditations before we work on certain days. And so I would have everybody laying down on their back. And now I hear my mother, things lay, people lie, or lying down on their back. And I would talk about, there's a smooth, fluid, blue liquid. And you're just going to feel it going up through your spine. And you're going to take a deep breath in. And take a deep breath out and let out all the negativity. And now let that blue liquid go up the back of your spine to the top of your head. Take another deep breath in and another breath out and let out all the negativity. And now that blue liquid is going to go right into your forehead. And it's going to go right into your forehead. And I had two people like open their eyes and look at me. And I don't know if it was during the exercise or the exercise stopped, but that day I learned very quickly that the word is not F-A-R-H-E-A-D. It is forehead and not farhead. Especially when you're doing this beautiful meditation and you say the word farhead. And you over enunciate it so they could feel the beauty of the word that doesn't exist.
Like, wait a second. Am I supposed to be projecting myself to some other place?
Yeah. It was really funny. And I didn't learn that till much, much later on. Yeah.
What'd you say? You were in grad school. That's quite a long time, but that's really funny. It speaks to a lot of, I guess, is what we pay attention to. I think it's fascinating how people's brains differ like that. Like some people see, you know, can feel colors, or they can see, see sounds, or the way that, like some people just, you literally, how many times in a book, right, did you read the word forehead? And it just didn't, you know, I was like, oh, okay, cool. And whereas other people can't hear the nuances between different people's voice inflections or whatever the case is. So I'm fascinated. I'm all this psychology of the brain is so amazing to me. And I think I missed out as a second life as this deep dive psychiatrist or psychologist or something.
Oh, but I feel that way too. People tell, there are people who say, oh, take Deb's class, you'll cry, she'll cry, but it's an amazing class. I'm like, what? I'll cry? It's a voiceover class? It's I was gonna say it's also a therapy class. It's not a therapy class. It is trying to help people get to the place where they realize that they're absolutely enough, 100% authentically themselves. And sometimes when people realize that, it opens up a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
To really just sit with the fact that I'm okay just being me, and I'm more than okay. I'm captivating and beautiful. And yeah, when you really are able to realize that, it's sometimes tears come.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of insecurity and imposter syndrome, especially in this business of performing. I mean, it's why a lot of people get into it. But I think this is a beautiful place to wrap up. Okay. And I want to end with the three standard closing questions that I ask everybody on the podcast. The first one, just very
simply. This is James Lipton. No, I'm kidding.
Very simply, if you were James Lipton, no. Very simply, what motivates you?
Joy.
Well, I love that. Okay. What advice would you give to your younger self and younger people listening now, starting out down a similar path?
The advice I would give to myself is to, damn you, Alan. The advice I would give to myself is to trust that you're enough and you have something beautiful and special to give, even though you're from Queens. I don't know if she would listen, but I would try my hardest.
That's beautiful. Thank you. And so now, hardest question, last one. If you can only see one show for the rest of your life, but you can see as many times as you want, what would you see?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, that's so hard. There's... Oh. One show or one performance?
Your choice.
Okay, I have to say that seeing Ben Platt do Evan in person, I know people call him the unicorn. To be able, talk about authenticity, to be able to bring that level of truth to every single performance, along with that level of technique. And I'm not a singer, I'm actually tone deaf, which is a whole nother thing, how I have this career. But to be able to do that, I think I had my mouth open and tears running down my face the entire show. But that was him. It was I was in awe of what he was able to do. So
the OBC of Dear Evan Hansen with Ben, yes. Yeah, snot falling from his nose and still perfectly hitting all of those notes. I agree with you.
Yeah,
it's very few people.
I also saw the original cast of Hamilton, which is like right absolutely up there. And yeah, I mean, there's just so many. Could go on and on, but yeah.
So then where can we connect with you, find you online, get information about all of your coaching?
Thank you. DebraSperling.com, DebraSperling.com.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at theater_podcast, on Facebook.com/official theater podcast. Please leave a rating and a review wherever you are listening right now. This has been edited by Well-Rounded Hoodlum Productions. Thank you to Jukebox the Ghost for the intro and the outro music. And Debra Sperling, holy cow, thank you for such a real, genuine, and authentic conversation. I cannot wait to give you that in-person hug. You are just such a beautiful person inside and out. I love it. I love it.
Thank you, Alan. Thank you for having me on. It's been really wonderful.
Take a deep breath, make the world a little colorful.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Suffs celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suffs has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at SuffsMusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.